Power and Authority. I'm entering into a study here of these two words, power and authority, in relation to how we as Christians should relate to government. Power and authority. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, those of you who have King James Version Bibles will have to follow me in the one that I'm using. I'm using the New American Standard Bible, not to confuse you, but because the New American Standard Bible just happens to be correct in about 99% of the cases where the words power and authority are used, whereas the King James Version is wrong in about 90% of the places. So I'm using this one for the purpose of getting the correct rendering of the words power and authority. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And so there you see the two words authority and power meaning different things. Turn also to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 Peter 3, 22. Speaking again of Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Authorities and powers had been, past tense, subjected to him. The two terms. The word power, we're going to be dealing in the Greek today in the New Testament. The word power comes from the word, from the Greek word, dunamis, dunamis. It's the word that we get dynamite in English. It's the word from which we get dynamo, dynamic. Dunamis is the word, or dunamia is the verb, dunamis is the noun in Greek. It means ability. It means power that comes automatically with you. It means your natural ability. Ability in yourself. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. And let's find out who or what the power is. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The only sovereign there in the, I believe in the King James it says magistrate, potentate, it says potentate. That word is dunamis. He is the only power. The only power. When you're talking about the power, it tells you right here who it is. God is the only sovereign power. The only dunamis that has no superior power over it. Now, let's go to the word authority. Authority is translated from the Greek word exousia. Exousia. And it means delegated power. Power that is delegated from a higher power. It is a privilege. So authority comes because of a privilege. Power comes because of ability. Turn back to Mark chapter 11, verse 27. And we have here a very interesting passage. Mark 11, 27. And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and scribes and elders came to him and began saying to him, By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus was apparently doing something, because these people recognized authority, and they said, who gave you the authority to do this? Jesus asked them a question. Here's the question. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Now, you see what he did? He turned it back on them. And it goes on to say, they began to reason amongst themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him? You see, John the Baptist spoke with authority too. And the question he put back on them is, before I tell you what authority from which I speak, you tell me from which authority John the Baptist spoke. So they began to reason, and they said, if we say that it came from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, and then it adds, they were afraid of the multitude, for they all considered John to have been a prophet indeed. And answering Jesus, they said, we do not know. So they took the easy way out of that one. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So, you know, if we could all be that intelligent and instant in season, we might even be able to escape these serpents in the court system. But God give more people the grace and the knowledge that perhaps just in measure that Jesus had. What authority? Now let's go back to the word power, because this is going to be a basis from which we're going to work in some further studies. I want to go into this question of authority and what it means and how it applies to Christians and to government. In order to get started well into this thing, I believe we have to first realize for sure the difference between the two things, power and authority. So let's go back to the word power. And as I said, power means natural ability. Or in the case of God, I guess you could say supernatural ability. But it's the ability that is His by virtue of Him and no one else. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 14. Matthew 25:14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own dunamis, ability. And he went on his journey. So there you have the proper definition of the word. It's ability. This was a man who had an ability which he could do. Luke chapter 9. Verse 1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. He gave them power and authority. Now, there you have the whole ball of wax. When you have power and authority, then you have something that the people will sit up and take notice of. Also in chapter 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Yes, the enemy has power. Our enemies have power, their own natural abilities. The 70 were given power over them, and not only that, they were given authority to tread on them. In other words, God said, according to my law, it's okay for you to go ahead and tread on those serpents. Now, if they had treaded on those serpents without his authority, then they would have been acting on their own behalf, and they would have been responsible for their own actions. But when you have authority from a higher power, then he is responsible for your actions, providing you don't get out from under the scope of his authority and of his directions, his laws. Okay, let's go on. Acts chapter 3. We're trying to point out the difference between authority and power. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name," or in other words, in the authority. Now, when you pray in the name of Jesus, or when you speak in the name of Jesus, that means you speak with his authority. That means that you have authority from him to do what you're doing. Or you better have. If you're going to use that name, you better have. If you don't, then what are you doing? Taking his name in vain, aren't you? Peter said, "In the name," or in the authority of Jesus Christ, "the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. They were filled with wonder and amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why do you gaze at us as if by our own dunamis, as if by our own power or piety, we had made him walk?" You see what Peter said? Why are you praising us? It wasn't our ability that did this. It wasn't our dunamis. It wasn't our power. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name," or in his authority, "it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man," or in other words, the authority of Jesus, "which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." Now, not by our own power, but by the power in Jesus. Now, we operate with Jesus' authority, but only through his power in those types of things. We have powers of our own, but they don't amount to much. You know, I have power of strength over my children. If they get too mean, I can manhandle them. You know, if they get too wild with me, I can jerk them by the collar, and that's my dunamis right there, see? Well, that doesn't speak too much in the terms of the universe, you know, and creation. And so when things happen of the miracle nature, then it's not our abilities that we're talking about. Acts chapter 4. It carries on the same subject, and it says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came about on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent. And when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power or in what authority have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name or the authority of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified when Jesus raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health." Now, it wasn't an accident that they pointed that out so succinctly and with such clarity, because they wanted to make sure that they understood that one thing. They didn't want to take the name of the Lord in vain by declaring something that wasn't true there. They wanted to be sure that the right person got the credit for the ability, for the power. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves." You see how careful they were about not trying to lay hold or claim or boast about something that was not theirs. Now, they had authority, remember, but they didn't have the power. God had the power. They had the authority under God. Okay? Now, contrast that with this passage in Acts chapter 8. Contrast how the power was explained by the disciples by what we're about to read here in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 9. "Now there was a certain man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, 'This man is what is called the great power of God, the great dunamis of God.'" Here in this man, they were saying, resides God's power. This is how God's power comes into being. And of course, that's what every sorcerer in the whole world claims, to be the power of God, to have harnessed God, and he has him under control, and he is the power of God. Okay? "And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike, and even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip, and as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, and they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this authority, give me this exousia.'" Strange how this great power of God was willing to go down a few steps to receive authority from someone who wasn't even claiming to be God. Well, their response was, "But Peter said unto him, 'May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity.'" You ever been put down like that? Well, he put him down, didn't he? And the words must have cut straight through. You see the difference, the contrast, in the way that the disciples saw the situation and the way that this pagan, this heathen, this sorcerer saw the situation. Simon, the great power of God, wanted authority from the disciples, and he wanted to buy it with money. The word power, again, to reemphasize, means ability. We also have the ability of the Word. The Word has ability. There is a dynamic ability in the Word of God. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of God to salvation. The Word of God is a dynamic power which has ability in and of itself, simply by virtue of it being the Word. To illustrate that further, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's word has the ability on its own, by virtue of what is in it, to do certain things. That's its own power. Now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and with the help of other things that God brings to bear, there's even more power and more ability placed upon it. But just on its own, it has certain powers. There's also power in terms of the spoken word. Notice in chapter 1 of Hebrews, this power. Chapter 1 in Hebrews, verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. Now, what's that saying? God spoke. God revealed power through his spoken word to the prophets and to the fathers. In these last days, he has spoken, revealed his power in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke God through the Word. He spoke Jesus by creating him in the flesh. The spoken Word has power. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now let's talk about authority. Authority, unlike power, is a term at law. Remember, power is strength or ability. It means to be able. It means to be able. Authority, then, is lawful permission to use that ability. Do you see the difference? To have power is to have capability. To have authority is to have lawful right under God to use that power. Another word for it is jurisdiction. Yes, God can give both power and authority, but if he gives you power, and then if you try to use that power without his authority, or in other words, in a way that's not in accordance with his law, then you no longer have his authority to use that power. You're on your own. Delegated authority is jurisdiction, and jurisdiction is established by a sovereign power or by a higher power. If you want to know if there is a jurisdiction in any particular place, you go to the authority and ask them, what's the jurisdiction here? Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. For I too am a man under authority. I should explain this a bit. Well, let's go back to verse 5 Let's start reading in verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, and soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. That's a perfect description of authority. He is a man under authority, and there are men under him who must yield to his authority. That's delegated power. That's power that comes from a higher source. Chapter 9, verse 1. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, they were bringing to him a paralytic lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, This fellow blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise and walk? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority, exousia, authority, on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, Rise, take up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went home. Jesus had authority. Jesus also had power. But the statement here was authority. He has authority from his Father in heaven. Chapter 28 in Matthew. Chapter 28 in Matthew, starting in verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All exousia, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's a simple statement. I have authority over everything. Now I'm giving you authority to do this for me. Go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. Yes, commandments come with authority too. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Authority from a higher power. Luke chapter 4. Now, some of you may be getting the idea, and perhaps this is going to get a bit redundant, but I want to go through these anyway. We want to clear this thing up once and for all before we go any further. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. Now this is Jesus. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. Have you heard preachers talk that didn't have any authority? They just kind of talk and it's just words. God save us from the preachers without authority. Here was a man, Jesus, who had authority, and they were absolutely amazed. And there was a man in the synagogue possessed by a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, Ha! What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Here's a man stating his attitude openly. I know you're of God, and I don't want you here. And Jesus rebuked him. And it goes on in verse 36, I believe, to say, And amazement came upon them all, and they began discussing with one another, saying, What is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about him was getting out to every locality in the surrounding district. Authority and power. How about Luke chapter 22? Let's turn there. Luke 22, verse 47. While he was still speaking, behold, a multitude came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And a certain one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus answered and said, stop, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come against him, have you come out with swords and clubs as against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the authority, the exousia of darkness are yours. What did he say? He said, you have no authority over me, and it's proven by the fact that you wouldn't dare lay hands on me in the public in daytime. And here you are in the middle of the night in darkness laying hands on me, taking me captive as if I were a robber and a criminal. You see, by telling them that their authority came from darkness and from the late hour at night, he was merely telling them that their authority was illegitimate. In other words, they had no real authority. They were not acting under the law of God. Now, let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 11. He, that's Jesus, came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The word right there is the word exousia, the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, there's the authority. They became children of God, not of their own ability, not of their own inherent goodness, not of anything that's theirs, but by the will of God. Okay? Not by race, not by intelligence, not by anything else, but the power of God. Okay? John chapter 19, verse 1. We're talking about authority. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. And they began to come up to him and say, Hail, King of the Jews, and to give him blows in the face. And Pilate came out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Jesus therefore came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, Behold the man. When therefore the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify, crucify. Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God. What did the Jews not like about Jesus? He had authority that they didn't like. You see, Jesus got authority from a different God than the Jews had. Oh, here's authority from a God that does things in the open, that does things honestly and uprightly. They don't do things in the secret chambers of the Pharisees. Exposure? Exposing the sin. When Pilate therefore heard this statement, he was the more afraid. Here's even Pilate, a little bit worried. And he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, You do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? Now, there's an interesting answer to that. Jesus answered, You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. Now, I read that for years, and I thought, well, God gave Pilate. When it said above, it meant God. It doesn't say God. You see, we have to learn what things don't say, as well as what they do say. What did Jesus say to Pilate there? He said, you're just a link in the chain. You can't do anything to me except you have jurisdiction. Governors don't like to hear those sort of things. Jesus put him on the spot, and there's no doubt in my mind, but Pilate knew what Jesus meant. What he said was, Pilate, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from higher up on the chain of authority, unless somebody over you gave you authority over me. He's saying, Pilate, you have no jurisdiction over me, and you know it. And therefore, the man that delivered me up to you has a greater sin than you do. Who delivered Jesus to him? Caiaphas the high priest. Who had the greatest sin? Caiaphas the high priest. And those people whom he represents. And as a result of that, it says, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar. You see, Pilate was on the spot here. The people who he wanted to please, in other words, the Pharisees, wouldn't let him release Jesus. And Pilate knew that he had no authority or no jurisdiction over Jesus. And so he was in a real predicament. And so what did he do? Well, as you know, he ended up washing his hands of the whole thing, and the Jews made the statement then, let him be crucified, and let his blood be upon us. But the point is that Jesus informed Pilate that he had no jurisdiction, no authority. Well, I'm sure that Pilate began to feel a little bit smaller before Jesus. I'm out of time. I can't go into Romans 13. Romans 13 is kind of the apex of this study of authority. We'll go into Romans 13 next Sunday, God willing. So we'll stop here. Authority is like jurisdiction, and in a court of law, the first thing that must happen, if done properly, the first thing that must happen before anything else can happen is they have to establish jurisdiction. The very first thing. They have to establish their authority. If they have no authority, if something, somebody, some person from above us doesn't give us the ability to do what we're doing, then we're all on our own. Our enemies are all on their own if they don't get authority from a higher thing, from a higher person. So, if we try to act on our own power, we'll fail. If we try to act without authority, we'll fail. If we have authority and don't act upon it, guess what? We'll fail. Let's stand. Almighty God of Israel, the Father of this land and the Father of all the many sons across this land, we thank you for this country. We thank you for the laws in your word. We thank you for the authority that you provide through these laws in which we can operate and in which you would have us to live and to operate. Lord God, we do pray that these words in your Holy Bible might become very meaningful to us. We pray that those of your people in this land may begin to look at you and to your word in such a way as to bring a revival in this land and to bring those people who you have designated into the position of real authority, and that they might stand for you in the authority of your word. Lord, deliver us from our enemies who would tear apart this society and this law and this word that you have given us. Deliver us from them. Expose them to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.